Let us read Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Yeah, it is exciting to know that God still works in simplicity. And if he still works, we just need to believe he's with us here. And if he is with us here, just reach out in faith. And he'll meet you at your point of need, even as you listen to the word. Amen? Praise God. Matthew 17, verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Amen. You may be seated, saints. Let us also read Luke 17, verse 5. Now, let me begin by asking a question. Have you ever had a prayer request? And maybe sometimes you went in prayer and fasting, and you had a desire for something you were praying for, but somehow there's a thought which kept digging on you, like you feel like, I think I don't have enough faith, and if God can help me have more faith. Ever experienced that? Where you feel like your faith is not adequate enough. Okay, so I want us to say something in that line. Luke 17, verse 5. The disciples one time also had a similar concern. Well, we can start from verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible, but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Actually, verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, when a believer or a Christian is not careful, your mind can come to a place where you feel, I need to do something in order to earn a certain blessing from God. It is important to pray. It is important to fast. It is important to give. It is important to have a soul-searching experience where you want God to search your heart. And though those are very important things, but always be careful. Always remember, God's love for you is so abundant. He desires for you to be blessed more than you desire. For it is him who made you to be. It is him who has provided all the gracious things around us. God is so merciful and gracious that he lets his rain fall both on the just and the unjust. It's always man who's been running away from God. And in running away from God, man finds himself alone, groping in the dark, a world which is so dark. It doesn't have love. It's a world full of trouble. But even in all those things, there is still a call to our hearts. Only believe. All things are possible. Amen? And, well, one day, some people asked Jesus, what can we do that we might do the works of God? somehow maybe they felt insufficient. Well, somehow maybe they admired. They had an admiration of wanting to do exploits. But the Lord Jesus said, hey, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he hath sent. That's how simple God has made it. We need to believe, right? When Jesus Christ encounters a sick person, he says, do you believe? Your faith has made you well. So what stands before you is the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. See how God is gracious. When Adam was in Eden, he provided the tree of life. That comes with a promise of life, protection, blessings, providence. But there's always that temptation of thinking we are safer with our ideas. That's a lie of Satan. We just need to rest all our cares in his hands, and then he takes over. Now, like I shared on Daily Devotion, I was reading Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster, a well-known book which many people have read on how to do your spiritual disciplines of prayer, fasting. A very wonderful, insightful book. And he mentions this interesting point. He says, sometimes we are afraid that we do not have enough faith to pray for this need, that need. And now, I'm speaking this, especially that now we are preparing for a crusade. Amen. Some people are already showing serious commitment towards this. A brother in the right here in the local assembly sent an amount, and he said, you know, Pastor, I've been broke, but you know, this is just for the crusade. It is really encouraging when you see hearts committed to the mission. Amen? Yeah? We also had an offering which came through 15,000 kwacha. I think that's wonderful. Another brother promises, he says, I'll be sending something. I'm just doing my math. So, and when Brother John called, you know, he said, you know, we just need to have these meetings. Let's just have faith. If we're going to pray and fast for 3 days, so shall it be. Didn't Jesus multiply bread? He did. I think the worst thing to go through your mind with such a promising mission before us is for us to start thinking about bread. That would be a terrible sin, don't you think? Yeah. So, especially with the testimony which came from him, because when we were there, we prayed. We said, Lord, heal this man and let this be a testimony. My prayer is that that hand which was sick may wave to the crowd during the crusade. Amen? Yeah. I don't know. I'm having this joy. There are God's children there who needs to be delivered from these ugly shackles of darkness. You know, you can see and feel the fear as people are talking. You see the melancholy faces. You can see the fear. And you know, when we were there, Brother Nzima looked at that other small like house at the headman's home. He says, oh my, I'm salivating at that. When we come here, we can be having prayers there. Let us believe God that it won't just be people getting prayed for, but that an assembly will be established there where a great light is going to shine in a place full of darkness. You know, I've heard a lot about Chongwe. From the time I was young, I've heard very funny stories. That's where people go, people looking for business and all that. Oh my, there's this and that which is happening. Can you imagine what the headman was saying? He says, "Antusa gona bwino kuno." Not just him, But everyone is living in fear. Now, you know what the devil does? His works are in darkness. Now, you know, in darkness, you don't see. In the morning, you see each other, you greet each other. But when evil things are happening, it raises fear. Everyone suspects another person. That grows into hatred. The devil loves that. Because you see, when you're in your house, you're not sleeping. But you hear a spirit calling out your name. You don't know what that spirit is. You start imagining, that voice sounds like who? It makes people go to the witch doctors. And the witch doctors are the witches themselves. They make their living out of that. You know, in darkness, fear grows. In darkness, everyone feels threatened. And you know, when you are threatened, you run away from your own house. That's what Satan has done. He has imprisoned people. Kwamanga. During the day, people do their business. They're in shops. They're living in homes. But they're full of fear. You heard what he said. He says, you know, when I retired, I came. This is my place. But now I feel like running away from my place. You know, when you hear such a thing, and when you know that there is light. You know, mpemvu hiyo fiatabe ngati kuli mdima. Because suzo cha mine chienda, ngati kuli mdima, so we switch off the lights. Then umvira pe, korr. Da-da-da-da-da-da. You see, I wonder what that is. In darkness, there's a lot of imagination. You know, when we were young, they switch off the light, and maybe there's a jacket hanging there. When you look, oh, you begin to imagine. I think there's a person there. I can see he has horns. Who went through that? I see a person there. Turn on the light. In darkness, there's a lot of fear. And the devil takes advantage of that. And people start believing more in a witch. But you know what? We have good news. We don't have any strength of our own. You know the beauty of light? Even a young child, if people are doing wrong things, fornication, a witch, I can tell you this thing. A witch, no matter how bad he is, he does things in the hide, in the dark. If suddenly a witch was appearing here doing his enchantments and then light was turned on and all the people came, he'll be reduced to fear and feeling very afraid. Even a little child can slap it in nakedness. There's shame to those things. And their strength always is not where there's a group of people. Their strength is in when each one goes to their bedroom alone. Then he can terrorize you because he knows you are all alone. Right? Yeah, it's dark. Everyone has gone to their room. So a people becomes vulnerable. But the word of God says, God is light. Amen. God is? Say it with me. God is? And in him is no darkness. When the light shines, cockroaches run. When you lift the stones, lizards run away. Why? They've been exposed. Glory to God. And that's what the word of God does. It shines. And whatever spirits of darkness do, they get exposed. You know, as we go to Chongwe for the crusade, don't think about, I need to have faith, I need to have more faith. No, 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 no. It's not more faith you need, because Jesus said, faith is not an issue, because kakuchikulupirilolo ni kangono, ngati kambeu ka mustard seed, kakwanisa kufendeza piri. So our problem is not faith. Listen to what this man says. Sometimes we are afraid that we do not have enough faith to pray for this child or that marriage. Our fears should be put to rest, for the Bible tells us that great miracles are possible through faith the size of a tiny mustard seed. That's what Jesus said, right? If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, it is enough to move a mountain. So do you think we need more faith? Tragedy will be even when a mustard seed is not there. Right? But you know, most of the times, when you take a step to say, let's go to Chongwe, do you know that in itself is part of faith? Did you know that? When you see someone sick and you say, no, we can pray for you, the act of you going ahead to lay hands tells something about faith, right? But Richard Foster draws our attention to something interesting. He says, usually the courage actually to go and pray for a person is a sign of sufficient faith. Frequently, our lack is not faith, but compassion. Frequently, our lack. Chamene kambi timankara wakuti tiribe, sikuti nichikulupiru, chamene sichiripo. Ati kambi rivuto nchakuti compassion palibe. Do you realize that when Jesus multiplied bread, you remember that day when he multiplied bread and fish and everyone ate? People have looked at that story and said, wow, what great faith that was. And somehow they believe, Lord, use me, that I can also multiply bread, that I can pray for the sick and they get healed. And so someone now begins to look for how God can use him in miracles. There is something we are missing here. First, look at Jesus. Did he present himself before the people like, you know, I can pray, God can do something? Is that the persona Jesus had? No. It wasn't even in his intention to do that. But he taught the disciples, it's been 3 days and these people need to eat. They haven't eaten. Do you realize that was a crusade? For a number of days, people had not eaten. So for us, when we are planning a crusade, should the food be the first thing we worry about? Kudala abantu benze kuja, one meal so for the whole day. Whoever taught us that breakfast, eat like a king. Midday, eat like, I don't know how that saying goes. It doesn't have to be that way, right? But some of these things, they become so much part of us until every time we think about a convention, every time we think about a crusade, our worry is, since we're going to be there for 3 days, let's budget for food and all that. The other time I was told about a convention in Karamoja. I think it's Pastor Veremu who narrated this to me. He says, you know, we went, it's a convention. Oh, convention, Karamoja. And believers went there. Now the people who are hosting them, it's Brother John Mark, and you know, this is a rural place. Uh-oh. Visitors just realized the first day, kuli benati na chani, yagwa, poo. At the time, you're endo gone. You've had prayers, you've had meetings. The following day again, no food. But people are dancing. You know, there they dance by jumping and praising the Lord and all that. The sole purpose of the gathering was to hear the word of God. And many times, God comes through for a people when they've got nothing on their mind but just to see the word of God manifest in their midst. Not you are in the service, someone is thinking, what time are we going to eat? I think, let us go with faith for this crusade, right? I was telling the brothers, for this crusade, I need a small mission team. You want to follow? We need soldiers there. We need soldiers who are ready to pray. Soldiers who are ready to evangelize. Hallelujah. All the 3 days of the crusade, more time will be committed to prayer and evangelism. We'll be having a meal once, maybe breakfast in the morning, and another meal for sleeping, just for energy. Whichever way the plan is going to work out. In the meal we're going to eat, we're not looking at meat or this and that. It will be Daniel's fast. Just cabbages and water, just something to give us strength. Because prayer warriors, we need to pray for people, right? So if you think, ha, that excites you, then be part of the team. If you are worried about, ha, manjana ti kulibe, nanga lunch, kulibe nanguko, remain home. There's enough chicken for that. But we are going on the battlefield. Amen. And we desire God to touch lives. It's a beautiful thing to see someone come to Christ. Amen. But you know what is missing today? Why the power of God is in such limited supply? I mean, in terms of manifestations. People think it is faith they lack, but like the writer says, compassion. You don't go out for evangelism like you are performing a theatrical performance. There has to be something that connects your heart to this person you are praying for. You need to feel the burden. Right? If someone is sick, we need to have that compassion. And you can't act it. God needs to touch our hearts to have a burden and love for the people we are preaching the word of God to. Hallelujah. When there's a prayer line, because what we're going to be doing, if today the first day of crusade, don't you go to the crusade and you are just idle, waiting for what to do. Mark someone. That one, he'll be my prayer burden. After the meetings there, the person you visit, you pray together. Enter into fellowship with them. Let the love of God flow from your heart to that person. When God does something, it will be your testimony. Right? Now, remember, the last prayer and fasting we had, I had said, remember what the fasting was. We were looking at Brother Tim McKay's message on that prophet. How many were there during that prayer and fasting? And I took a picture, right? Talarisha, you remember that picture? Yeah. Brother Kashala, were you there? Oh, okay, you were not there. So those who were there, you know what happened and what we're looking forward to. But you know, I started thinking and said, Lord, I need someone I can speak to. Surely there must be someone who is in need. You know, I just kept praying over that. I wrote it in my to-do list booklet. For all the 3 days, it kept failing. I said, okay, maybe today is the day. I just need to speak to someone about the word of God, about salvation, someone who can be baptized. Because you see, we have to be led by the Spirit. It's not just doing something, right? Oh. And I was looking at the calendar and I thought, well, the fasting is drawing near and near, and I don't seem to have been successful at this. That's the day when that young man wrote me. He said he wants to be baptized. He's looking for a place which who believe in the message of William Branham. So I was wondering, who is this person? But he talked about, I need to be baptized and I need to receive the Holy Spirit. So digging further, those of you who were there, you heard his testimony. You know, he was going to a Pentecostal church where there's a woman preacher, but his heart has had a struggle wanting to know the truth. And so he was wondering who could help him. And so he searched on the internet, and then that's when my phone number came up, and he decided to contact me. I told him, well, I'm ready. If you're ready, you can come where I am. He says, I'm ready, sir. I can come early in the morning tomorrow. I said, okay, that's okay. When the morning came, he started off. He says, okay, I've started off. I'm now coming there, but I'll be there maybe after 4 hours or so. He wanted to walk from Woodlands coming here on foot. He was desperate. I said, what? You want to walk? He says, yeah, I'm ready to do that. If, because I sent him the location. He says, okay, it will just take 4 hours. So we put him on a Yango, on a taxi. He came. Very humble young man, sincere. He explained to us. We shared the word of God to him. There was Brother Kashala, Brother Lakson, Brother Teddy, Brother Mwansa. And we baptized him. Amen. And he didn't come with clothes to change. So I told Nora, can we look for something we can give him? So she found the T-shirt. I think, it had the words only believe on it. So I showed him. I said, okay, you see what's written here? Only believe. So I asked him, do you want to wear these for baptism or they're the ones you go with? He says, I don't know. So the brother said, no, let him wear the new ones, you know. He's a new man. Amen. I told my wife, yeah, my work is done. I have someone now. What I want to share with you is there was a concern in my mind that, Lord, I need to speak to someone. God wants to use you, but you need to be ready for the work. You need to pray about it. Amen? Chongwe presents an opportunity for you. It's morning time. You get your Bible. You go in the field to go share to someone and bring them to the crusade. That's what we do, isn't it? So for this one, we're getting 200 chairs. We're targeting one village. Claim some 10 chairs out of that. You say, in this crusade, I'll go out and I'll be praying 10 people who fill this chair, that chair, that chair, and those who fit in this chair, I'm praying, Lord, help me, use me that I can be a blessing to this person. Don't you think that would be a blessing? Yeah. So what I'm encouraging you on this evening, my brothers and sisters, it's a very simple encouragement. Pray to God to cultivate compassion in your heart. Jesus, the Bible says, when he saw people were hungry, they had not been eating, you know, the disciples said, but there's no food here. Jesus says, no, if they go, they'll faint on the way. They'll faint on the way. And the Bible says Jesus had compassion for the people. Are you seeing there was no drama? It wasn't a thing like, today I'll pray for bread and people will see I'm a man of God. Is that what you see when you read the story? You see there was a problem. There was a need. Right? Apart from the problem and the need, Jesus was moved with compassion. You know, Brother Kashala is the one who always does our electrical works here. When we need lighting, even at the crusade, he's the one making the budget for that. Every time he has to connect the lighting and all that. One thing, Brother Kashala, who always put on the list are the wires, the cables, right? Because these lights, for them to go on, there has to be a channel through which electricity has to flow. God also uses a channel through which healing can go to a person. And you know, our approach for the crusades we always do, our crusades It's not one person doing the work. Each and everyone is an evangelizer. Each and everyone has to pray for someone. Hallelujah. You don't just sit idle. Identify someone you can pray for. After the crusade is over, the following morning, identify someone you can visit, take their names. Go there, have a prayer meeting at their home. During the daytime, it has to be busy having prayers in people's homes, anointing their homes, casting out devils, inviting the light of God, taking their phone numbers, creating friendship so that communication continues. Jesus commanded us, go make disciples from all nations. That's our call, to make disciples. Have a disciple in your life. Someone who can be born again today, and you take them as your work to help them grow. During the week, you can tell them, you and I will be fasting every Thursday. We pray for your needs. I'll be coming to visit you. Until they reach a time they can pray and fast on their own, they can read the word of God, it means you have discipled someone in your life. Amen? Yeah. That's possible. That's possible. And he says, usually, this is now Foster, usually the courage actually to go and pray for a person is a sign of sufficient faith. Frequently, our lack is not faith, but compassion. It seems that genuine empathy between the prayer and the prayee often makes the difference. We are told that Jesus was moved with compassion for people. Compassion was an evident feature of every healing in the New Testament. That is true. Where you see Jesus doing a healing, there was compassion. He felt compassion. We do not pray for people as things, but as persons whom we love. Do you know Brother Branham said something? Brother Branham, in that little booklet, the 11th commandment, he said, when love projects, grace takes over. He shares testimonies of how miracles happened in his life. He says, when I pray and I enter into the fellowship of the pain or suffering of that person, whenever compassion goes out to a person, he says, the grace of God takes over. The love of God. You see, one day he saw a killer bull. It even happened on animals. He happened to walk in a certain place and there was a bull which would have killed him. He reached for his gun. The gun was not there. And he looked at it and then he said, instead of trying to be angry or upset with the bull, it started charging towards him. He said, instead, I loved it. And then he said, sorry to disturb you. I didn't mean to disturb you, but I am on my way to pray for a sick friend. Will you go back? I'm a servant of God. I'm on my way to go pray for someone sick. And he said he loved it as a creature for God. He didn't hate it or feel like, why does it want to? He didn't go in panic. He says, I suddenly had love for that animal. And I told it, sorry, Mr. Bull, I know I disturbed you, but I didn't intend to. I want to pray for someone. And then he said, it just turned back. It became, you know, it didn't do what it wanted to do. It went back and slept. That's the power of God. And Brother Branham says, when love projects, the grace of God takes over. Hallelujah. You know, that's what we felt when we went to Chongwe. We felt sorry for the elderly man. And we prayed. And as we were praying, I just felt like going around that house. And I was praying, praying, and praying. And the brothers were praying, and everyone was praying. And I think the man felt it. This is different. That is why he said, before you go, please touch my hand. Pray for this hand. Hey, that is faith. His healing is not because there's someone extraordinary, or we are extraordinary people. Jesus said, according to your faith. According to your faith. The man had faith. And the Lord is gracious to him. And remember, he says he was wondering why his money didn't come out this particular month. Every time zikachoka, zimachoka za wanze. He says, and he believed zachedwa because God was keeping me so that you people should come. Because he would have left that place. He says, nezefuna oyenda, but asembe sumuna nipeze. Now I see the hand of God. God sent you people. And you know, he was using the word mizimu za kubwele sana. That is his limited language. He believed in mizimu ya kubwele sana. Meaning, you know, the spirits of God. He doesn't even have the vocabulary of a Christian. But in his language, he says, it's gods which have brought you. Well, God took us there. And we prayed. Hallelujah. Now, see, that place is ripe. Now, do you know what brings about miracles and the power of God? It's the people's faith. Do you know that place? People are in expectation. Because that man, when he said, please touch my hand. When I saw that, I said, this is faith. This is ripe. But when we went back to the house of the widower, you remember what she said? When you see people are speaking and talking like that, oh my brother, shame on us if we fail to take an action. Is that correct? And as I prayed, I said, Brother Nzima, can you touch her feet? You know, she's an elderly woman. And we prayed. When you see an environment like that, get ready to see the healings and the power of God on display. You see, whenever you have a gospel campaign, it should be a learning point for the next one. Each one you should say, Lord, we don't want to miss a target here. We want to have better, greater results in Jesus' name. Shall we stand? Glory to God. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this evening. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. And as we have our weekend prayer and fasting, Lord, may it be the desire of each and everyone here to look forward to that prayer and fasting. Yes, Lord, that it can be a time of coming together to consecrate our hearts and minds. And Lord, we pray for the needs of the campaign. We know you shall supply our needs, and may you bless every hand that right now is giving towards this campaign. Grant it, Lord, that every soul that is in darkness in Chongwe, yes, Lord, that you may bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray for Kanchele Village. Grant it, Lord, that your great light is going to shine. Thank you for the blood which is still on the mercy seat. Blessed be your holy name, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you.